There's been much talk about the role conservative Christians played in boosting the vote for George Bush this year. 4 years ago, many of them stayed home, 4 million, according to White House advisor and political strategist Karl Rove. This year, Rove made it his goal to bring evangelicals to the polls, and his efforts seemed to pay off. Many observers on both sides of the political divide believe this year evangelical voters made the difference in the popular vote. On Tuesday, 22% of voters told exit pollsters they ranked moral values as the most important issue in the campaign. We've called Tim Wilder, pastor of the First Baptist Church in Osceola County, Florida, to ask about his campaign to get out the vote. 4 years ago, Osceola County voted for Al Gore. This year, it went for George W. Bush. Last Sunday, Pastor Wilder spoke to his congregation about the election.
We're so faithful to so many other things, and yet I think a lot of times we get ready to go in the voting booth and make a very important decision for our country, and we don't need to go in there as a Democrat or Republican or Independent. We need to go in there as a child of God, a believer in Christ, be faithful to God and faithful in biblical convictions. And what breaks my heart, I know breaks the heart of God, is a lot of people don't go into the voting booth that way. They separate their Christianity from being a Democrat, Republican, or Independent, or whatever. And God's been so faithful to us, and yet when it comes to things like that, we're not faithful to Him. And I need you to listen to Matthew chapter 22. I want to start off by saying my name is Pastor Tim Wilder, and I approve of this message.
Pastor Wilder says he's always been active in politics. 4 years ago, he passed out Christian Coalition scorecards for the candidates. But this year, he said the difference between the presidential rivals seemed stark.
The line was drawn very clear this year, and some decisions were made in our country that kind of pushed this stuff in our face. And so I think pushed the Christian community back against the wall. We finally woke up and said, let's go to fight.
And was the decision by the Massachusetts Supreme Court about
that? That had a lot to do with it, too. I mean, we're just talking about a lot of moral issues. I mean, when we started to see the Christian community, it's kind of been apathetic over the years, let government do government's thing, let the church do their thing. But happened there, the judge, what he did there, is kind of like they're trying to force their values on us, and we felt like it's time for us to stand up and say, we're not going to take that anymore. Enough is enough.
That was the gay marriage issue in Massachusetts.
Yes.
Well, a lot of people were surprised by the prominence of the issue because there were so many issues in this campaign. I mean, there's the war in Iraq. Americans are dying pretty much every day. The war against terror, the economy, health care. As a pastor, how do you rank these issues in terms of importance?
Well, I said make a list up of these issues that are important to you. I said most of you probably have on your list, health care, education, Social Security, taxes, all these kind of things. And I said, but what I want you to look at is the values that I think really matter even more deeply to God. So I talked about there's three values I believe as Christians we need to deal with when we get ready to go vote. Other issues are important, but these things need to be on the front line. These are the priorities, and that's we value life, speaking up for life and the life of the unborn. And so I talked about that and speaking up for the family.
And more important right now even than issues of war and peace, which also involve life and death.
And we talked about the Iraq war, even that too. See, I believe that war is even being fought to protect the freedoms of others and to stop the spread of evil. But I've been upset when I've been hearing people on TV saying the homosexual issue, which is dealing with the marriage issue, the abortion issue, which to me is an issue about life, those things are a side issue. They're not really important. What's more important is Social Security, tax plans, all this kind of stuff, education plans. And what I said is if we don't value family and start standing up for the traditional biblical view of family, one man, one wife, committed together in marriage, so I said those other issues won't matter whatsoever. It won't matter. I mean, this country won't stand long. And, some of the most mighty nations in the world, like the Roman Empire, they didn't fall from the outside. They fell from the inside when the morality and the family starts going, the nation goes.
So how did you try to get this message across?
Well, we had two rallies here called Save America Now rallies. We had one Christian Coalition sponsored one here in our church during the weekday. And then I preached a sermon the Sunday before the election on fighting for America, vote our values. But I'm a part of the Southern Baptist Convention, and we really geared things up at the Southern Baptist Convention last year and talked about the importance of it. President Bush even spoke, not in person, but by live satellite at Southern Baptist Convention.
Mm-hmm.
And we're one of the largest denominations in the United States. There's 16 million of us. We have an organization called I Vote Values. And, of course, James Dobson focused on the family, and he sent out a pastor's packet kit to all, I think, every pastor in the United States. And it was how to talk to your people. A lot of the information I got from my sermon was from his materials and different things like that.
Mm-hmm. There are laws prohibiting churches from endorsing a specific candidate.
Yes, right.
So how do you, I mean,
never
how
have
do you...
done that. Even Sunday morning, you can hear the whole sermon. I never said vote for Bush or anything. I even told our people, don't go in the voting booth as a Christian, I mean, as a Republican or Democrat. Go in the voting booth as a born-again believer in Jesus Christ and vote your values.
Isn't there a bit of a wink and a nod if you all realize you're talking about supporting a certain candidate?
If anybody probably read between the lines, they know that, of course, they knew how I felt. I never did come out and say, I'm voting for Bush, and I wish I could have said that personally. I cannot tell the church who to vote for. But if people ask me personally outside the pulpit, I can tell them who I'm voting for and that kind of thing. But I've never said from the pulpit, and I'm real careful about that, endorsing a candidate.
So what do you expect to see now over the next 4 years of a Bush administration?
He's going to keep doing more of the same. I mean, he stands strong on these issues, and now that he's got more Republicans in the Senate and different things like that, I think that maybe he can get more done. Point judges. That's another issue. I said whoever wins this election is going to point judges that are probably going to have a big say-so on the pro-life movement. So it was not, you know, I know everybody's turned it into the homosexual issue. It was not just about that. It was about morals, period.
Tim Wilder is a pastor at the First Baptist Church in Kissimmee, Florida. We turn now to Laura Olson. She's a professor of political science at Clemson University. She studies politics and religion. Hi, Miss Olson.
Hi, Jennifer.
We've just spoken with a pastor in Kissimmee, Florida, about his efforts to get out the vote and to convince his congregants to vote their values. Much has been said these past few days about Karl Rove's successful effort to get evangelical Christians out to vote for George Bush. How big a constituency is this, and how active have they traditionally been politically?
Evangelicals comprise right now about a quarter of the American population, maybe a little bit more than that. Some might argue they're as many as 3 in 10 Americans. And they, for a long time, before the 1980s, actually were very disengaged from politics. It's not to say that they didn't vote. Some did vote, of course, but many evangelical leaders saw politics as, to some extent, the realm of the devil. They saw it as a sort of sinful part of humanity. And all of that changed, really, in the early 1980s. They were concerned about the decision in Roe versus Wade. They were a bit troubled by all the social changes of the 1960s and 1970s, the women's movement, the emergence of the gay rights movement, and a variety of other things that troubled them. And then along comes Ronald Reagan, perhaps the most unlikely of candidates to mobilize evangelical Protestants, in part because he's our first divorced president, and also because, you know, he's part of Hollywood and not necessarily a natural representative for the evangelical Protestant constituency. Yet it happened in part because Reagan said the sorts of things that evangelicals wanted to hear on important moral issues.
Well, they have... churchgoers have been politically organized before. I mean, they were credited with helping the big Republican congressional wins in 1994, and as you mentioned, Reagan. How have their politics evolved since then?
During the 90s, the movement, I think, very much moved to a more state and local level political engagement and focused more on winning local level elections, school board elections, city council elections, things such as this. So what's happened, I think, in the past, in particular 10 years or so, is that the movement has more better organized base at the local level in a lot of places, and it was very much, of course, part of Karl Rove's plan to go out and try and mobilize folks at the precinct level.
Is there a religious left waiting in the wings? Is there any reason to expect a backlash there?
You would definitely think that there would be, you know. And in the 60s and 70s, there very much was a religious left that was quite powerful in Washington and also at the state and local level. You know, lots of religious people were involved in the civil rights movement. Many marched against Vietnam. Many worked for fair housing policy in cities in the 60s and 70s. And they were really a pretty important and pretty impressive political coalition. That coalition, it seems to me, has to some extent fallen apart. But another challenge really for the religious left is not so much that there aren't people out there who believe that religion and politics perhaps ought to intersect in ways different than the way that the president marries the two. The bigger challenge is that sort of the religious left isn't well coordinated via one important interest group like Christian Coalition in the 1990s. And so it's really a challenge for the religious left to find an agenda and to find ways of galvanizing supporters in the way that the religious right has.
Laura Olson, a professor of political science at Clemson University and the author of Religion and Politics in America. Thanks for speaking with us.
Thank you so much.